I repeat that. Good afternoon. Thank you very much. Turn with me to the book of Amos and chapter 5. I'll read Amos chapter 5 from verse 1 to verse 17. Amos chapter 5, verse 1 through to verse 17. And the Bible reads as follows. Hear this word that I take up over you in lamentation, O house of Israel. Fallen, no more to rise, is the virgin Israel, forsaken on her land, with none to raise her up. For thus says the Lord God, the city that went out 1,000 shall have 100 left, and that which went out 100 shall have 10 left, to the house of Israel. For thus says the Lord to the house of Israel, seek me and live, but do not seek Bethel, and do not enter into Gilgal, or cross over to Beersheba. For Gilgal shall surely go into exile, and Bethel shall come to nothing. Seek the Lord and live, lest he break out like fire in the house of Joseph, and it devour with none to quench it for Bethel. O you who turn justice to wormwood, cast down righteousness to the earth. He who made the Pleiades and Orion and turns deep darkness into the morning and darkens the day into night, who calls for the waters of the sea and pours them out on the surface of the earth, the Lord is his name. Who makes destruction flash forth against the strong so that destruction comes upon the fortress. They hate him who reproves in the gate, and they abhor him who speaks who speaks the truth. Sorry for that. Therefore, because you trample on the poor and you exact taxes of grain from him, you have built houses of hewn stone, but you shall not dwell in them. You have planted pleasant vineyards, but you shall not drink their wine. For I know how many are your transgressions and how great are your sins. You who afflict the righteous, who take a bribe and turn aside the needy in the gate. Therefore, he who is prudent will keep silent in such a time, for it is an evil time. Seek good and not evil, that you may live. And so the Lord, the God of hosts, will be with you, as you have said, hate evil and love good, and establish justice in the gate. It may be that the God of hosts will be gracious to the remnant of Joseph. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of hosts, the Lord, in all the square they shall be wailing, and in all the streets they shall say, alas, alas. They shall call the farmers to mourning and to the wailing those who are skilled in lamentation. And in all vineyards they shall be wailing, for I will pass through your midst. Now, like I said in the morning, the book of Amos is a book of the judgment of God. Judgment of God upon the nations surrounding Israel, but also judgment shown actually is a portrait in the last three chapters where the visions of the judgment of God are brought upon the nations thought to speak. And then verse 18 to 23, which we haven't read of this passage, is a fulcrum, the fulcrum of the day of the Lord. In other words, it gives hope that God will not judge forever. But also, the text that we saw in the morning, verse 4 through to verse 6, gives a glimpse as to what God requires of his people. And that is that they should seek him, that they should come to him, and that they should be in repentance. And the uniqueness of all this is the fact that God will always be special to his people and always wants his people to continue in that special relationship with him. And so the text that we have read, chapter 5, verse 1 to 17, alludes to that. And more so when you get to verse 14 and verse 15, actually you almost think they are misplaced or they are standing in a special place. And indeed they are, because in there God grants his people the ultimate hope, the hope of life, the hope of his presence and his gracious blessings that he bestowed, that he bestows upon his people. And these are the things that I want us to look at today within this context where God is angry at sin. And God has reacted. And God says he will punish. And punish he will. And as he brings this message and calls Amos from being a shepherd and calls him to bear his message. And he does so all the while because God is who he is. He's a jealous God, angry with sin, and yet has got a special eye on his people. And God has a special eye even on us today. While we're going through this pandemic, there's something interesting that God will forever do and that God would not deny himself. He is in our midst and desires to continue blessing us and desires that we may receive from God that which he has purposed to bless us. Thank you very much for the water. I was choking on my saliva earlier on. But here it is. God wants us to seek all that is good. God wants us to love God. And on his end, God says he will bless us. And blessing he does. He blesses his people constantly. And you know, that is a privilege that we have as Christians. That we have God in our midst. That we have God granting us real life. And that indeed his grace towards us is forever. Both now and in heaven as well. Let us look at these things in verse 14 and verse 15. Seek good and not evil, that you may live. And so the Lord, the God of hosts, will be with you, as you have said. Hate evil, love good, and establish justice in the gate. It may be that the Lord, the God of hosts, will be gracious to the remnant of Joseph. Notice that it is clearly identified who is indeed the one active in all this. He is called God of hosts. He is called the Lord of hosts. And the Lord, the God of hosts, when combined, is a name that was to the ears of the Israelites the name of real strength, and a strength that is incomparable. The being of God who alone is who he is in terms of the sum total of his being. He is alone, and he is, or rather, he has got no comparison to anything that has ever been created. And he stands out in this unique way. And therefore, to the early hearers of this prophecy, when they heard and were hearing, saw the Lord, the God of hosts. This was to those who were the remnant of Joseph, to those that had remained true to God. This was coming to their ears as a great blessing, just to hear the names of God, and just to hear that he was still the same. But there was a positive command that was being given to them, being given by God. It is this seeking. Seek good and not evil. Hate evil and love God. Very simple and very straightforward words, again, from God himself through the prophet Amos. Now, in the Bible, there are many other texts that speak about seeking God and seeking the Lord. And we need to ask ourselves, what does this exactly mean? But before we talk about this word seek, let us ask ourselves, what does good mean? Because God is saying we must seek good and not evil, the opposite of good, and we must hate evil but love God. I want to immediately say that good and goodness immediately mean godliness. And this is what we saw some time back when we considered that God is good and good is God. And the word good in the Old Testament is a word that speaks about just not an ordinary good. When referred to God and referring to God's people, it's abundant goodness that is being suggested. And actually, even in this text, that is what you see immediately suggested. Abundant goodness. And it's abundant in terms of the fact that the resources from which good comes from is itself abundant. The resources of good are from God. Now, God is not limited. And so the resources of good and the resources of goodness that is being suggested here and that are with God are limitless. And therefore, while we speak about good, we must immediately note that this good has no measure in terms of limiting it. And that's why when you get to the New Testament, in Galatians 5 and verse 22, goodness is listed as the fruit of the indwelling of the Spirit of God. And because it is from God himself, and it is a fruit of the indwelling of the Spirit of God, you can never say, therefore, that you have come to know goodness or good in total measure, in its full capacity, that you have come to experience goodness. And that's why when you just consider the goodness of God, you immediately know that it is one of the attributes of God. It is what God is by nature. And so the psalmist, for instance, in Psalm 34, verse 8, would say, "Test and see that the Lord is good." And immediately says, "Blessed is he who takes refuge in him, in God," because you will find more than what you bargained for, actually, when you go to God. So God is the foundation of all that is good. And this is what is being suggested here. Seek good. It is that good which has its source in God, and God himself is good in every way. And the goodness of God, it is such that he uses that to even accomplish his purposes here on earth. And that's why even when he had created, God saw what he had created, and he says, and the Bible records for us that it was very good. And that is good in terms of the nature of God. And we must therefore immediately say that while we do this and we say this, goodness can never be merited. And that is if we talk about the goodness of God. You will not come to a level or a stage where the goodness of God is that which indeed God must give to you because of something that you have done. He causes his son to rise on the evil and on the good as well. Just remember that. And sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. We all receive something good from God. So, the perfect model of goodness that we can think about and what is being suggested here is a model that comes from God. Immediately, therefore, we must say that it is the goodness that comes from our personal relationship with God himself. And it assures us that God will fulfill his purposes of goodness through us and in us. And God has indeed purposed that that which he has planned from of old, he will bring it to pass. And that includes the goodness of who he is, and that goodness that draws us to himself, that goodness that he makes us to be, and the good that he makes us to be in this world. Therefore, goodness and being good is at the center, at the core of our Christian lives together, both as a church and collectively as a body of believers, and so even yourself as individuals. So therefore, you immediately see in what I've said about good and goodness that you must indeed therefore pursue it. You must seek it because good is that which defines you as a Christian. It defines you. And every Christian must therefore be defined in this way. Sad that indeed we are not defined by this sometimes as Christians. Sad that we get to lives and characters that fail to distinguish between us and non-believers. But you see, this is what differentiates between believers and those who are not believers. Remember, if you remember Galatians chapter 6, verse 10, it says, "So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, especially to those who are of the household of faith." That's what Paul says. As we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, especially to those of the household of faith. God wants us to stand out, but also God wants us to stand up for one another, and especially those who are of the household of faith. It is because of this that defines us. Dear friends, this is what we must do. This is what we must seek for. This is what God has called us to seek good, to seek that which defines us as believers, to seek that which defines God. God is defined by goodness, and he is good. And the prophet Amos, the shepherd, This is what he saw, and this is what he says, and this is what God says. Seek God. And that seeking has got two senses. That seeking, it has got two senses. The first one, and actually in the words of the Hebrew, these are the two senses. The first one is about pleasure and delight. It's about wanting something, but it gives you pleasure to actually want it. It's this sense that a young man will have when he goes to ask for a young lady to marry him. When a young man wants to marry and ask the lady, I'm told nowadays you go down on one knee. I don't know where the young people nowadays get these things from. But on your knee, with this good pleasure, the feeling of satisfaction, that feeling of great joy, you go seeking the young lady. And this is the sense here. And that's what the psalmist was expressing in Psalm 27 and verse 4 when he says, "One thing I've desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. To behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire of his temple." You sense that he's saying he will be happy to be in the house of the Lord. He will be happy to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. He will be happy to inquire in the temple. And this is a sense. It's a seeking with great pleasure. A seeking with great delight. Happy to do it. Friends, we are asked and we are enjoined here to seek good. And when we seek it with that good pleasure, with that great delight, happy to do it. But there is another sense. And the second sense is the aspect of consulting, the aspect of searching hard to try to grab it, to try to understand it, to try to do it. And so, seek good. In other words, with great pleasure, with great delight, searching it and really consulting hard about it, seek good. And when you do so, therefore, you will want to know good. And you will want to be defined by good. You will want to know that this indeed is what you are. And that indeed this is what God himself has called you to. But more than that, therefore, verse 15, there is this aspect of love God. So you notice where that God would desire for us to indeed seek with great pleasure and great delight and really wanting to know with all this. But then also, he wants our emotions involved in it. Love God. And this suggests, you know, a straining towards all this. And making it your finest delight. And desiring that indeed your very soul is in love with God. And that you must love God. I pray and I trust that this is actually defining you. This is defining you. That you are one person who desires God. But we shall see later that it's not just a possessing of this and just a being of this, but it's actually an expression of this thing that is required. But before we get to that, notice that God wants us to avoid the corollary. That is, therefore, we seek good and not evil. We seek good and not evil. You know, the definition of evil is everything and anything that is devoid of God. everything and anything that is devoid of God is evil. And when therefore you find that you are not in the will of God, you find that you are not thinking wholesome thoughts, you find that you are not fulfilling God's purposes, you are doing evil. So, evil is about the opposite of everything that is of God. So, if God is on the right, evil is on the left side. And therefore, evil is must be avoided. Evil is evil. But we should not seek evil. We shouldn't. But more than that, verse 16, we must hate evil. And this hating of evil is a suggestion that we must turn away from evil with passion. We must love good and love God with all our heart and with all our souls, with all our bodies, and our passion must be towards God. And we must turn away from evil with all our passion, with everything within us. The psalmist would say, let those who love the Lord hate evil, for he guards the lives of his faithful ones. The wise man would say in Proverbs, to fear the Lord is to hate evil. And those who don't hate evil, they don't fear God. And they almost say that there is no God. So every person who seeks to be true to God will hate evil. And who is this person who seeks to be true to God? It is the Christian. And who is this? What is his name? What is her name? It is you. By your name, you are a Christian. You must hate evil. Those who love the Lord hate evil. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. You will not have evil in your midst. And now, see where we came from. This is a lamentation of God himself over the house of Israel. And this is the context of this prophecy. Go tell my people, O house of Israel, fallen no more to rise is the virgin of Israel, forsaken on her land with none to raise her up. Verse 1 of Amos and verse 2. And God says, therefore, because of this, when you go out to fight, you will go 1,000. In verse 3, you will come back 100. If you go out 100, you will come back only 10. Because God, by his nature, he hates evil. And so he told them, seek me and leave me and leave. Seek the Lord and live. And he was basically saying to them, return to me, O house of Israel, declares the Lord. Return to me. And he says, I gave you cleanliness in your teeth. That's what he said in chapter 4. I gave you cleanliness in your teeth. But now you have a lack of bread in all your places. Why? Because basically, they were no longer loving God. They no longer would hear the Lord. But you see, this verse 14 and 15 suggests to them that there is a turn that can be made. And there is a turn. And this turn is actually expected of God's people. And what is expected of God's people? It is that we may be like God. You see, being like God means that you're going to embrace all that is Godward and all that is good. And this is what we must be there. Here is another necessary duty of ours as Christians, that we may seek good, that we may love good, that we may not seek evil, that we may hate evil. To encourage us, see what God indeed will do, therefore, and the blessings that, come to us when we are Godward. And that is what I want us to see in the second place, therefore. Because this is actually where the punch is concerning this entire book of Amos, I must say. That is my personal opinion. The punch, and indeed the turn in the book of Amos, is this. The blessings that are ours, they're basically threefold all the time. There are three blessings that are tremendous, that indeed make us to be those that must go through life with our heads very high and actually rejoice in the fact of who we are. And the first one is this, is that we have eternal life. Seek good and not evil. Earlier on, in verse 4, it was seek me and live. Verse 6, seek the Lord and live. And now seek good, and these are those who have sought the Lord and are seeking good, that you may live. That you may live. This is the blessing that indeed God himself has given us life. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ said, I came that they may have life, and life in abundance. That they may have life and have it abundantly. And this is what God has given us. Life in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our glory is that now we are of another world. Our glory is that while we live here on earth, we've got the life of God himself. Life abundantly is what we have been given. John 14, verse 15 to 17 says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I'll ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. So here it is. We are given life, but here is another blessing related to this, and it is this. And so the Lord, the God of hosts, will be with you, as you have said. It looks like they used to boast about God being their God and being in their midst. And God says, yes, this is your blessing. That God, and it's not only God, the Lord, the God of hosts, will be with you. The God of heaven, the creator of the whole universe in its magnitude, the one who sustains the whole universe, the one who has the whole universe in his hands, in the palms of his hands. Think about all the planets, the stars, the moon, the sun, and everything in them. God has them in his hands like this. And it is the same God who is in the midst of his people. What a joy. What a blessing. You know, to have the potent to be with us here. Friends, God is here. He is in our midst right now as we speak. He is here. God would say to them in Zechariah that, return to me, and I will dwell in your midst. I will be in your midst. And all the while, God keeps on telling his people, come to me, and I will be in your midst. be with me. I will be mighty in you. Zephaniah chapter 3 and verse 17 says, the Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exalt over you with loud singing. That God is in our midst. Notice that with the emotions of joy and gladness. Because God is a person. And he joys over us. But more than that, he is also in our midst, the mighty one. But notice the other blessing. That God will be gracious to the remnant of Joseph. That God will make you enjoy all his blessings at his expense. And that's what grace is. It's God's riches at Christ's expense. That is what we experience together. Those three blessings, friends, have got practical implications. The blessing of life from God, the blessing of God being in our midst, the blessing of God's grace upon us has implications, practical implications. And it is this, that maybe we might establish justice in the gate. In other words, this whole aspect is the fact of social justice being experienced by all. But it is this, that we may be able to live right with God. Because whenever you talk about justice, think about the justice of God. And he says establish justice in the gate. In other words, within the context of your being together. And our being together is about God. And therefore, God desires that we may live right before him. That we may be a people who always, before him, we are thinking right, we are doing right, and we are always right before him. That in terms of ethics and integrity, we are indeed those that stand out. But also, there is another aspect. And the other aspect is this, that we are therefore right with one another. And that we're able to band together as a congregation like this. But we are right with one another, establishing justice in the gate. In the gate means in this confine of where God has brought us together. That we are right with one another. We are experiencing right relationship with one another. And also, most importantly, that we are always actually indeed, encouraging one another and pushing one another and being each other's keepers and therefore rejoicing that indeed we have heard that there is a baby at the Swales. This little girl has extended our responsibilities together, not just the Swales, but all of us. That indeed, when you hear that one of you is indeed in trouble, you rally around him, rally around her. That you've got this sense of a sense of belonging to a body of believers, because practically you do sense that indeed justice is established. It's not just a justice of that social aspect of wanting to correct what is wrong, rather of maintaining that which is good. Notice that the context is about seeking good, hating evil, and not going after evil, but seeking, therefore, to see good in each other's lives and to see the blessings of one another. Oh, friends, this suggestion is that indeed within our gates we will know one another. I wonder how many of you know my middle name, if you know me. What's my middle name? No one knows my middle name apart from my wife. But be close to me and you will notice that I don't have a middle name actually. Friends, what I'm basically saying is that knowledge of one another must be intimate. intimate to the extent that indeed, I mean, just think about it. Think about it. If each one of us are defined in this way, that we seek God, each one of us in here, each one of us, and that we don't seek evil, not at all. We hate evil, and we love good. Do you know the kind of church that will be? And do you know what will be to one another? You see, Israel here was being threatened with a punishment because collectively they had gone astray. And collectively God was calling them. In chapter 4, verse 6, I gave you cleanness of teeth in all your cities. In other words, everywhere where you were as a people, I was there and I was wanting to do things for you and to be with you. But now there is a lack of bread in all your places. Yet, with all these things, you did not return to me. Collectively, you did not return to me. I also withheld rain from you. When there were yet 3 months to the harvest, I would send rain on one city and send no rain on another city. And one field would have rain, and the field on which it did not rain would wither. That didn't bother you. That one would have rain and probably have a produce, the other one, no rain and it has withered. It wouldn't bother you. But if you are those who seek good, and seek good in terms of the goodness as defined by God, and as the goodness as we see of God, this would bother you. Why is my brother, my sister withering away? What is ailing him? And you would go and you would rally around. And so, friends, my message to us this morning, sorry, this afternoon, is that God is calling us to be a people who seek good, who seek the goodness of God, who seek the goodness of others, who seek to see the blessing of God, the blessing of the life of God in us. It's tremendous to know that indeed this one and that one were all born in her, that indeed this one has a spirit of God in her, and that one also has a spirit of God. Put them together. Oh my. The life must be different. It's always that, indeed, when excellence comes together, you will have the most excellence that you can ever think of. It's always that, you know, when you want good people around you, and then you get 2, you get 3, you get 400, that is our membership, even more. Oh, friend, this city would see the light, and this season will truly see the light of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. But I dare say that we do not see this because this is not what defines us. Sometimes you even see that indeed we end up not caring for one another, and you say to yourself, but just how? Is it possible that this one is seeking good? How is it possible that I can be one who seeks good and I don't think about you? I don't even pray about you. How is it even possible? How is it? How is it possible that we heard the news of a baby born this morning and indeed we just continued business as usual? Probably we didn't even talk about it at our lunch table. How is it possible that indeed we know about the goodness of God and we will not go to try to influence each other to speak about the goodness of God. The home groups are having all these evangelistic activities, and it's a drag, friends. It is not with joy that we're coming together. Others, they don't even pay attention to these things. It's announced, and you think, evangelism? What evangelism? And others, it's become just a system of doing things at KBC. Every Christmas, we will have evangelism. You know, the sum total of goodness is with the chief God himself, the God of heaven, who is our Father. And indeed, he has given us his Spirit to live in us. But more than that, he has given us a real life. And as we close, we need to think, what is the meaning of all this? Practically, what does this suggest to me? That I'm seeking good, and I would like everybody to know that I hate evil, and here it is, God has given me his life, and I repeat, he's given us his life. Do we seek him as he lives in our midst? Do we seek him as he graciously continues to bless us with one blessing after another? And indeed, we must therefore be those who are forward in knowing who God is, understanding the ways of God, understanding his nature, and also therefore understanding ourselves, knowing who we are and the kind of character that we must have. Dear friends, seek good, because good defines who you are. Be good, because that is what you must be. The Lord your God, in the midst of you, is mighty. He will rejoice over you with his gladness, with his love, and that love will quiet you, friend, and he will exalt over you with loud singing. Oh, that's what God desires to do in you as an individual. But friends, publicly, as we seek this, we will be those that indeed want God to establish justice, true justice within our gate. That justice that goes beyond just correcting what is wrong, but that justice that goes to real life and living a life of togetherness, a life that indeed identifies us together as a people of God. If we will be the people of God, we will be those that have justice established within our gate, those that indeed have the fear of God, those that indeed collectively know the grace of God in our lives, and thus are able to encourage one another. I've repeated this so that indeed it may come to us, and come to us to know that this must therefore be established within our midst. Let us pray. Our Father, indeed, we ask that you may establish true justice within our midst, O God, but also may we know your blessings of true grace, and cause that, O God, our lives together may truly show that you are in our midst, and that we may be a people that indeed seek good and not evil, that hate evil and love you in every way, and therefore love goodness in every way. Oh, do this and bless us together, because we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.